hey.
You normally talk louder than that.
Yeah, I do talk louder than that, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes can you talk as loud as you normally do?
Yeah, about
so
like
we
this,
can do a sound
much.
Check.
Yeah, right. We've only been doing this for 4 years.
I think we're good.
Is it just 4 years? We got to be coming up on 5 years soon.
Something like that. Yeah, this summer, I think.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
That is crazy. If you have any ideas for what we should do for a 5-year anniversary,
yeah,
let us know. That way we can...
Everybody just writes in, retire.
Ooh, sick burn. Very sick burn. Never. We will never quit until
because
we feel
like
it.
Because we can't afford it.
All right. Do you want to hear Biden's two most recent flubs?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see here. This one. So the first one is that he basically said that his father or grandfather?
His uncle.
Oh, his uncle was eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea.
What?
Yeah. He suggested that his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals during World War II, which has sparked uproar in Papua New Guinea, obviously.
His uncle's name almost seems like racist against the Irish or something.
Ambrose Finnegan.
Ambrose Finnegan.
That is a sick name.
That's not real.
Yeah.
That dude sounds delicious. the food of the gods.
Right, yeah.
Papua New Guineans.
Yeah, with a side of cabbage.
So yeah, Biden twice hinted that the U.S. was unable to recover his uncle's remains after his plane crash near the island of New Guinea during the war, quote, because there used to be a lot of cannibals, end quote, in the region.
is there a lot of cannibals?
Hey, Jack.
I feel like, you know, you can blame this on Biden's poor judgment, or like more likely he had like a lying uncle that was like, oh no, he definitely got eaten by cannibals at a young age. And he's just like, oh,
it's one of those things that, yeah, your parents tell you when you're little and it just becomes like total truth for you.
Yeah. It's like how they taught James from James and the Giant Peach that his parents were like killed and eaten by a rhino. That doesn't happen. No, rhinos don't eat parents.
No, they just gore them.
Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marape has pushed back against the characterization of cannibalism in the Pacific Island nation. President Biden's remarks may have been a slip of the tongue. However, my country does not deserve to be labeled as such. And I agree.
There was another really good line from the Prime Minister where he's just basically like, yeah, you guys should still like come clean up your mess that you made during the war.
Like, yeah, get this like rusting hunk of junk that your dead uncle flew in on out of my fucking jungle.
He
also said, which I appreciate, World War II was not the doing of my people. However, they were needlessly dragged into a conflict that was not their doing.
True.
And so I urge President Biden to get the White House to look into cleaning up these remains of World War II so the truth about missing servicemen like Ambrose Finnegan can be put to rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, come clean up your shit. And you'll find that, like, your dumb uncle just, like, drove his plane into the Pacific Ocean. It's not our fault.
And we left his tasty corpse sitting right where we found it,
yeah.
Okay?
Didn't touch that shit. Yeah.
So that's his flub one.
Okay.
You ready for flub two?
Real quick.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Papua New Guinea is a great pet name. I call my wife my little Papua New Guinea.
That's cute. I like that. Is it because she's so tiny?
Yeah.
All right. Flub two.
4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years.
So, what did he say?
He reads the pause from the teleprompter.
Oh, he just says pause.
The teleprompter says 4 more years. And then pause, it says pause so that they can all chant 4 more years. Pause. But he reads the pause, which, you know, could happen to anybody, surely.
I'm Joe Biden.
I'm running for president?
Oh, man.
Am I president?
Democracy is on the ballot.
So that's our boy's perfectly functioning mental capacities.
Yep.
In the news this week.
Yep.
Also in Biden news, the TikTok ban has passed Congress and has been signed by the president.
Wow.
So TikTok, ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns a share of TikTok, has been told that it needs to sell off its shares in the next 9 months. Otherwise, the app will be banned on all the app stores in the United States.
Well, good thing that there isn't any way to sideload an app onto your phone unless you get it through the app store. So they did it.
I mean, you can also do TikTok in browser. I don't know if there's any plan to actually ban it on the internet itself.
Like, this is just, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but like, it's just so absurd you know, on so many levels. And also just like, not only an obvious hypocrisy, but like, it sort of highlights like the fucked up thing that we're in a digital panopticon of our own government and, you know, like corporations working with our government in terms of like a dragnet surveillance with like the NSA revelations and all that. And they just passed like a update to that, which is to say, like, just making it, you know, continuingly apparently legal to warrantlessly wiretap everybody. And they just like extended the Patriot Act like an additional whatever amount of years or whatever the fuck. And the idea that, like, you know, pointing out like, no, but they're Chinese.
China.
Like the Chinese are going to have all your data and know everything you're doing and what you're thinking about and your hobbies and, you know, like who you communicate with and how much time you spend looking at various things. Like the Chinese are going to have that.
They're going to spy on you Chinistically.
it's just,
meanwhile, they have better data protection laws than we do.
Yeah.
It's just like, why should we be upset about China spying on us? Like
yeah.
The Chinese government, as far as, you know, information available, isn't like collaborating with the local police.
They don't have a lot of jurisdiction here.
Yeah. Like, whereas Apple, you know, Microsoft, Google,
Meta,
they're all collaborating with the local police.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're better off going on TikTok. Like, the Chinese are just way over there.
Well, the problem is not...
Well, they might send a balloon after you.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that this company is Chinese is a smokescreen for the real reason that they want to ban TikTok, which is that the kids are getting woke on TikTok.
It's too bussin'.
It's too bussin'.
And,
it's got too much riz. I just want to apologize to any Gen Z listeners that we may have.
Your culture is not
our
costume.
I know that's appropriation.
Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts probably came the closest to saying something normal about this, where he says TikTok poses a serious risk to the privacy and mental health of our young people. Yeah, probably.
I mean, sure, but like, so does just smartphones.
Yeah.
Like any social media.
Yeah, but that problem isn't unique to TikTok.
True.
And certainly doesn't justify a TikTok ban. American companies are doing the same thing too.
True.
So yeah.
So
good for you, dude. You said a normal thing. Now go do something about it. You are a senator.
Yeah. The U.S. is about 10% of TikTok's global audience, and it's one of the most profitable social media companies and fastest growing social media companies on the planet.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of ByteDance selling its shares seems small.
Well, they'd only be selling their shares of like the American version, right? They basically just want to like get.
I don't think there is an American version of TikTok. I think there's just TikTok.
My reading of this, which is to say my listening of it, because I'm, you know, post-literate, new flesh, is that they want like Steve Mnuchin to like own like TikTok Americana or whatever.
Yeah, they want a taste.
Yeah, and that they're not, like, forcing, you know, the app to, like, not exist in other countries. It's like
they can.
Exactly. And they're going to, like, ban it in the U.S. unless it's, like, divested by, you know,
by ByteDance. Yeah,
in
exactly.
The U.S. specifically. Like, there's going to be, like, an American port of it called, like, I don't know.
Like America Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Some bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Freedomvideos.net.
True social.
Yeah.
But so ByteDance is going to be fighting this through the courts, and it seems like if it's going to be stopped, that's probably the only way that it's going to be stopped is if they go through the courts. So.
Yeah.
So if you are the child of a federal judge, you need to tell your parents how much you love TikTok.
How much you love TikTok. Tell them about how many small business owners rely on TikTok. That seems to be the line du jour of trying to fight against this is the small business peoples.
Yeah. And be like, actually, TikTok's making me love Israel more.
Yeah, totally. Watching IDF soldiers prance around with Palestinian women's underwear has really awoken me to the most moral army in the world.
Yeah, seeing like that video where the dude's in like the blow up velociraptor like costume and he's like frantically stuffing shells into a mortar, like you know,
lets me know that they don't take it too seriously.
They're just like me.
They don't take the genocide too seriously. You know, they still like to have fun.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, so dumb. Pretty crazy that this is what our, like, insanely well-paid, like, national leadership is doing in this hour.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we need American monopolies on social media surveillance systems. Like, that is the highest priority of all of the crises that are currently going on. Oh, also, if you say river to the sea, you go straight to jail. You go straight to jail.
Straight to jail. This TikTok ban was part of a entire like package of bills that also give billions of dollars to
Ukraine and Israel.
Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
And Taiwan.
So our three proxy wars that we're stoking. We're doing that. And it also, in that same bill, gave the Treasury Department nearly unlimited power to destroy nonprofits if they don't like what they're connected to.
Yeah, I think this might have been a bonus story, but let's just go ahead and hash it out on Maine.
Yeah, let's do it. Because they all passed at the same time, which I think is like worth thinking about all of these things together.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Where like... The U.S. government wants to continue to maybe get a third hot war going with Taiwan while also making sure that you can you have to get rid of the one social media app that connect to youth that have some truth.social going into it. Right. And then. You also, it very much seems like the idea here is to get rid of student or Jewish Voices for Peace and like Students for Justice in Palestine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like these two organizations, even with our bizarre rules around what constitutes like terror supporting organizations, you can't even get these to like be on that list. Like there's not, because they're not.
Yeah, clearly.
Right.
So it's already illegal for any organization, nonprofits included, to support terrorism. That's the law.
It should go without saying that the change is
that rather than having an investigation that goes through a legal court system, that irritating shit, now the Secretary of the Treasury can just declare any nonprofit connected to hear my air quotes there, terrorism, and have their nonprofit status stripped. So
awesome. That's what we want, right?
Right. That's going to help us remain nimble in these trying times.
So who's this clown? That the arbiter of terrorism?
Who's currently the treasurer?
Yeah, and why would they put this, like, what's the logical, you know, reason for having this position have that type of unilateral, like, agency?
Well, I think because
the treasurer of the United States is the one who's responsible for the IRS, and that's responsible for tax exempt status. So that would be the chain of command there.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I think the Secretary of the Treasury isn't an elected position. So it's really hard to put pressure on them, I think, is probably. And they're hard to get to. Right. So you just like make it basically impossible to appeal. Like this ridiculous arbitrary decision.
Yeah, they would be the only government official who could rescind this terrorism connected designation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like so anti-democratic.
Yeah,
right. Yes. It's like pretty remarkable, and because it is unconstitutional to like make laws that specifically target individuals or individual organizations.
Yeah,
right. So like they can't like just make SJP or JVP like illegal directly. So they have to do this stupid workaround thing, which now that I think about it might also be what strikes down the TikTok ban, because like you're not allowed to do that. You can't like make a law. Well, I guess like they probably made a law that just had about like American owned or Chinese owned companies in general, and it only applies to TikTok. I don't know. I guess that's probably one of the courts will have to decide. But so this story, we couldn't find it in a something that wasn't paywalled, so we're linking to reason.com.
I'm really sorry about that. Very hesitantly. I swear, I looked. I spent a solid minute and a half looking for some other source.
I looked too.
Yeah, put the 10-foot IO link for it at least.
Yeah, but I do like, you know, reason.com's a house style is very, very casual with it. So financing terrorism is already very illegal. I like that line a lot.
But being terrorist-y,
And they also like to make sure that you know that this law could impact them, because they're libertarians, so they only care about things that could directly impact them.
Free minds, free markets.
Yeah. So although the label of terrorist supporting organization is supposed to apply to supporters of designated terrorist groups, nothing in the law prevents the Department of the Treasury from shutting down any 501c3 nonprofit from the Red Cross to the Reason Foundation.
So, like, this is obviously just going to keep sliding and encompassing more and more, like, do-gooders out there. Like, I can imagine that Food Not Bombs immediately, you know, terrorist
supporting. I don't think Food Not Bombs is a nonprofit, though.
No?
I don't think so.
Seems counter to their anarchistic tendencies.
It's kind of not very anarchist-y to be a nonprofit, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Ironreadspot@gmail.com. Let us know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, you need assets to like do it. So I could see, you know, like renting space or whatever, you know, donations. Yeah, maybe they are just like, fuck the state. We're going to be a terrorist organization our entire lives by like feeding people that need food.
Yeah. According to foodnotbombs.net, Food Not Bombs is not a charity.
Well,
it's a volunteer grassroots movement. So do not believe that it is a nonprofit.
But a lot of nonprofits aren't charities.
No, right? All 501c3s are charities.
Okay.
That's how you get the designation.
That's what the C stands for, huh?
I guess maybe it's possible that, like, I don't know, the Sacramento Food Not Bombs, or I don't know, just like some local chapter decided to be a 501c for their own thing, because no one can stop them.
Well, I think it would be difficult to get tax exempt status if you're doing something that's illegal in your municipality.
That's true.
Yeah. So SJP and JVP are both just like, well, if you just let them be a state, then you couldn't call them terrorists. So
also getting around. Wow. But then they would be state sponsors of terrorism. There's a law for everything these days. Yeah, you know,
it's really too much.
So lots of Gaza related news.
Oh, okay.
Campus protests have like exploded.
Yeah. The kids, they got it going on.
Yeah.
They got it risen, buzzing.
We have to stop. We have to stop appropriating the children.
Bussy. I don't know. What does that mean?
My camp bussy is blown up. My camp bussy is rizzed up on encampments. So as of 2 days ago, the number's probably grown since, but there were 33 colleges in the United States with solidarity encampments. There are reports, unverified, but nonetheless, of snipers on the roofs of Ohio State and Indiana State universities.
What?
And the pictures...
It looked like
They look like snipers. Yeah. The president of Ohio State said that they weren't snipers. They were observers.
And
they
were
up there with scopes, not guns. But several students said that they saw them carrying guns up to the roof. So take that for what it's worth.
The only scopes we had were connected to guns. So
Yeah.
I'm like, Biden's like, all right. I need a Kent State.
Oh. That worked.
I mean, the arrests have been really, watching the arrests unfold has been pretty intense. Professors being arrested alongside students, which is, you know, I mean, if you're a professor at like an elite university like Columbia and you get fired for, you somehow manage to get stripped of tenure and get fired for attending a protest, you could probably get a job somewhere else. I mean, yeah, you're probably an ex-Columbia.
Yeah.
You may have to settle for a state school, but you're probably still going to have a career
gross.
After that.
State school, gross.
But then, you know, that state school is going to be like a sponsor of terror. And then, you know, you're going
to
go to jail.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Good on the kids. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for real. Like, I have no idea how effective, encampments will be by getting, like, the endowments of these universities to, like, divest. Mm-hmm. I hope they are effective. But, like, it looks like all of the efforts to shut these down is totally backfiring. You know, like the Barbra Streisand effect type thing. It's like, yeah, you're making it very hip to stand up against genocide and, keep doing it.
I saw a video of students like kettling cops,
really?
Using signs. It was pretty fucking cool, dude.
That's awesome.
The kids have learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of older, you know, leftist observers who like journalists and stuff who are visiting are saying that these kids are like better organized than any protest movement they've seen in decades.
Good.
Yeah.
That they're very
drilling
focused. They're drilling, they're doing things like media literacy, you know, talking to others about how to talk to the press. They have little like peanut free allergy zones, which is just very endearing.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot where I read this, so it won't be in the show notes, but there's one thing where a reporter was trying to like go find someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, this is your spokesperson, talk to this person. And it was like a Palestinian student like talking about how they had lost family members and like their house was destroyed and stuff. And they're like, okay, but like, is that it? Like, can I talk to? And they're like, no, this is the person you talk to.
I want to talk to a regular people.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, you talk to this one.
I want to find the most like problematic, anti-Semitic, right, undisciplined person in your midst.
Yeah,
and
send me somebody who will make you look stupid. Come on,
right.
I'm a journalist. That's what I'm here for.
Which is something that I, you know, a lot of those movements of the early 2000s. And the, you know, like the Arab Spring and then Occupy and to some degree BLM, like. I think a lot of older protesters maybe put forward those lessons of like, if you call yourself a leaderless movement, the media will determine what your leader looks like,
yep.
And will find the person that says the dumbest thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And like that's who you are.
They're all just like, read Vincent Blevins, Why We Burn or If We Burn.
Yeah.
That's the name, right? If We Burn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if we Vincent Bevan's book, is quite
Bevins.
Excellent.
Yeah, not Blevins, my
quite good.
This is happening at the same time that 320 bodies have been found in a mass grave at Nasser Hospital in Gaza. Many of them, they were zip tied behind their backs. Many of them had medical accessories on and in their hands, wearing scrubs and rubber gloves.
So these are doctors and patients.
These are doctors and patients, medical staff who have been either executed and mutilated or even buried alive. There are signs that
Holy
many of them were buried
shit.
Alive. Yeah.
There's also something like organs were missing.
Some of them had organs missing that looked like they were taken by Israeli soldiers.
Like organ harvesting? Like,
I mean, this is according to Democracy Now.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's like shit we make up about China.
Right?
Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't...
Oh, man.
Man.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. And I'd say unexpected, but, like, I really, at this point, can't put anything past the IDF.
Like, yeah, remember back in November where it's like, no, we have to, they're going after this hospital because there's, like, a
tunnel network.
The terrorism headquarters is under there. So we have to do this. It's only this one hospital. We don't usually target hospitals. Now every hospital is gone.
Despite the fact that a few weeks ago, another mass grave of 400 people was discovered at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. So
yeah. Like, they're going after hospitals because the point of this is extermination, right? And the hospitals kind of, you know, make it harder to keep the people, like, dead and injured, you know? So it's also where you count how many dead people there are, like how many people have died.
Yeah.
It's the hospitals are necessary for that. And so if you get rid of them, all of a sudden, like we've seen, those numbers go away.
There's a reason it's violation of international law to target hospitals.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty important in war zones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of children there. So they found a ton of children in these mass graves, women and children who are in the hospital for treatment from you know, what we've seen are just like these horrible, being totally maimed and injured and killed in this war. So we're actually going to discuss in our bonus episode for this week, a piece that was published in The Nation by a 14-year-old Palestinian girl named Lou Jane. We are going to talk about it on the bonus episode, but I really recommend, in fact, I'll even put a link to it in the show notes for this episode, because if you're not a patron, I still think you should really read it. It's a very harrowing account of this 14-year-old girl's experience, being face to face with Israeli bulldozers in her own home. So. The horrors of war continue.
Yeah, the kids that are in America are the only ones acting as adults in the room, and good on them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just stopping what we're doing, you know, like, the flow's got to stop. Business as usual has to stop. This is, like, absolutely horrific. And, good on them.
A lot of the, like, talking heads and kind of neoliberal assholes are like, oh, these protest tactics are so, you know, counter to getting people to accept your message. But, like, nobody has any answer to, like, what alternative there is for anybody, young or old, student or not, to try to stand up to this war.
Yeah, like, I mean,
what else are you supposed to do other than put your body on the line?
Yeah, overthrow the American government, because, you know, you can't vote in a end to this genocide.
No,
it's completely locked in. There's no capacity to make a change in this status. Like,
yeah, both parties are behind it
100%. Yeah,
and lots of stuff has been tried, and this is this, in a way, this is a last resort. Otherwise it would have been done like 150 days ago. This has been going on for like 200 days, and for a long time it has been like conversations and raising concerns,
bird-dogging politicians,
and just learning about how we got to this point.
Yeah, calling your senators,
and each time you're just met with accusations of anti-Semitism. You know,
yeah.
So like, what's there terrorist left to sympathy. Do? Yeah, and terrorist sympathy. So, like, what is there left to do, really?
And it's finals week. Kids are getting expelled from campus and trespassed for years. Do you really think this is what they want to be doing?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, right?
Come on. Students want to go to class and fucking party.
Yeah.
They don't want to get beaten by cops.
Kids within days of graduating are being expelled. You know? That's... They've done everything.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, it seems like something that... I don't know, that should be illegal. That like, they've completed everything that they are asked to do to get a degree. They did it. They held up their end of the bargain. You can't just then expel them and not give them a degree. Like, they did everything.
and probably most of them are like six figures in debt.
Yeah.
In the process of trying to get this degree from this, like, you know, university. And this university is ready to just be like, actually, just go be homeless and die.
Yeah, they just want to take your money. Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, 57 people were arrested in a pro-Palestinian protest at University of Texas in Austin, and all of their charges have been declined by the county district attorney's office. So
because it was just a copy and paste job.
They lacked probable cause, and it was because, yeah, the cops just copy-pasted all the reports for all 57 arrests.
Yeah, they're like, you gotta use ChatGPT to, like, you know, make it a little less obvious that you're copying and pasting. I mean, come on. It's 2024. It's like, bare
Get
minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good on that DA.
Yeah. But it also, it just shows, like, you know, like when the cops are asked, like, you know, why'd you arrest this person? They're like, because I arrested them. It just kind of seems like.
I was told to by the university president.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
They were terrorist sympathizers.
Just following orders.
Yeah. So this was an absolutely insane article written by somebody named Olive Keogh, written in the Irish Times. It's paywalled, so I can only tell you about a couple of screenshots that I saw on Twitter.
Okay.
Because I'm not giving the Irish Times my money. But it's about quiet quitters.
Okay. Favorite topic.
Yes. Favorite topic. I'm just going to read you a couple of excerpts. But whatever's going on for my crew, I still have my KPIs to meet, so I can only be understanding up to a point. I actively encourage my team to avail of our employee assistance programs, and I try to lead by example by doing a relaxation class at lunchtime, provided on site, or going outside to get some air if it's not lashing down. I also keep I should say, like, the context of this is, why aren't employees going above and beyond? And these are what their bosses are saying they're doing for their employees.
Okay.
I'm letting them go outside.
I let them go outside. I do a relaxation class. I also keep back some of my budget to spend on small rewards, like sweet treats when everyone is in the office, buying eggs at Easter, or standing them the occasional lunch. I'm not naive enough, yes you are, to assume these gestures will sway the quiet quitters, but for some of my team, they make a difference. And in the words of the ad, I don't know what ad, but this is great, every little helps.
Every little helps. Huh.
If that's what you want them to do, just pay them to do that. I just can't. The above and beyond thing is just, like, so fucking crazy to me.
But also, like, no. You shouldn't have to pay them more to work more than 40 hours a week. Nobody should have to work more than 40 hours a week. Nobody should have to go above and beyond their job. They should just do their job.
Or make that their job. No, like, maybe not 40 hours a week.
You legally can't make a job 50 hours a week. So,
yeah, I guess that's maybe.
I don't know. Like, the whole being exempt status is, like, something that is very different business to business and role to role. There are definitely a bunch of people that I know personally that have very explicit from their management expectations to do more than 40 as salaried, like, you know, if the job requires it.
No,
or
yeah,
whatever.
It's very common.
Yeah, extremely, extremely common.
It's just illegal.
Let me just read this. This quote is absolutely infuriating and hilarious. What employers have found since the pandemic, I believe, quiet quitting is worse than the inconvenience of having an employee leave. Quiet quitters are hard to handle, both on the job and in performance reviews, because they continue to complete their assigned workload to the same, often high, standard, giving their managers an uneasy feeling, but nothing specific to complain about.
Oh my gosh. It's like, I can't really fire you because you're doing such
your
a good job.
You're doing a really good job. I wish we could fire you.
I need you to do better.
It's exploitation. It's not hyper-exploitation. And I can't put that in writing.
Quiet quitting is subtle, unspoken, and slippery to tie down, but a straw poll of managers suggested is a lot more prevalent post-pandemic. You always had those who did their 9-to-5, but not a minute more, and never chipped in if there was a crisis. But it's becoming like a creeping malaise with a sort of passive-aggressive undercurrent that's really exhausting, says one manager charge of a large finance team in a busy multinational business. Yeah, maybe when faced with mass death and devastation and the realization of how short and precarious and beautiful your one wild life is, people came out of that experience deciding that devoting 50 hours a week to a boss who calls you family while buying you Easter eggs was just not worth it. Like, maybe that's the conclusion a couple of people came away with.
Maybe.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Returning value to shareholders, but you get to be walked outside if it's not raining too bad. It's like, yeah, maybe someone reevaluated their priorities on that one.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
And there is something, I don't know, I'm just kind of hung up on this deeply disturbing idea that there are just, like, these people out there that are like, why don't they just love their exploitation more? Like, or, you know, yeah. What is it actually when they say above and beyond? Like, what actually is this thing that they're referring to? I think is much more darker and sinister, you know, than the phrase above and beyond would yeah. suggest.
Well, you know, if I had to like put it in another phrase, I think what it is like making the success of the company a personal like sense of responsibility.
Yeah,
sure. Right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
above and beyond can like mean a ton of different things. And, you know, like being like a middle manager myself and an individual contributor, this like question of like what is above and beyond and am I going above and beyond or are people that are reporting to me going above and beyond being like something that, you know, is very much in the front of my observation, you know, yeah. like whether it's, you know, myself or others. And at least for like me, I feel like I'm going above and beyond when I like try to think like two or three steps ahead of like what I'm doing and try to like make it so that the little changes I can do today will make the success of the work that I'm trying to do tomorrow that much better. And what's weird about that is like, it's so hard to be observed doing that, mm-hmm. right? Like it's so subtle and like almost non-observantly different than just like getting the task done and that I'm doing right now and then going home. Like it's like lining things up like, oh, I got to get this thing on order. And, you know, like thinking critically about like my critical path of like getting a machine like designed, built and deployed and commissioned like as fast as possible. Being like, oh, actually, if I make a couple mods of this design like right now, because I can just like throw them on the 3D printer or whatever, then like they're going to like make the chance of success that much higher. And like, I notice that it's impossible for my boss to notice me doing that. You know what I mean? Like it's really subtle. So,
yeah.
I feel like what you're describing is doing what they call high quality work.
Maybe.
Which is different from expecting employees to, for example, work off hours, be accessible at any time, day or night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming in on weekends unpaid. That seems to me to be the kind of thing that these exploiters and employers are. That's a good new neologism.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what
their expectation is.
Because in the declining rate of profit, like any bit of that like unpaid work on a weekend is actually what keeps the business afloat.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Creates value for shareholders. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Well, you know, it's interesting because like you do have like those strivers, right?
Sure.
Like people who are just like, you know,
I used to be one at a job that was quote unquote family where we were expected to go quote unquote above and beyond. Yeah. I was a total striver.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that I am. You know, like I end up working a lot more than 40 every week. And it isn't because like my boss is like telling me I need to work more than 40. It's because I really want my job to be there next year and then a year after and the year after. Like,
Work for a multinational financial company.
Correct.
Which is probably a big difference.
It's a big difference, especially when these companies are already like massively profitable. Like, if I was working for a company that was massively profitable, like, I don't think I would have that motivation. Like, I'm sort of working like that so that we can be a success. And like, I've been working there for so long that I sort of like know what is the most like impactful thing that I can sort of be doing at any given time. Mm-hmm. And you know, like when it comes to like salary positions and stuff, not everybody can even like do the above and beyond thing as far as hours go. Like I know some people have kids, they got like three kids, they've got a life to live like outside. Mm-hmm. And there's other people that like could and do. And then the question is like, okay, well, like if I have two positions and they both have the same title, but one person's like putting in 20% more effort, even though they're not like paid for it, like they should be paid for it. You know, like there should be the ability to like be like, oh no, this person like literally is just married to their job, and so they're going to get like 20% more or whatever. like, but that isn't the way that these jobs typically go. Like the pay structure is like set for the position, and then there's like a slider scale between 2 points based on like how well they are doing and or like what requisite experience they like came into the company with.
But
and
like
stuff
bosses
like that.
Can always give bonuses. They can do all give other perks and stuff. Like,
you'd be surprised though. Like the whole thing is like you know, structured so that you can't. Right, which is to say, like, that's part of like the top down like profit seeking thing on these multinationals, is that they only give like management some small amount of like ability to make a change. Like, you know, like you most bosses can't just be like, I want to give my employee 20% more because they deserve it, and then they get it and then they give it. Like, there's usually like things where like, nope, you can't. Like, there's this matrix and like you got to fill this thing out, and like this is how it's going to be done. And so I guess my point is that like this sort of, you know, brain virus that this manager is writing about in the Irish Times is one that's like almost universal, and it's very like top down. Like they put, there's so little capacity for them to do what we would consider like the right thing so often. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's baked into the algorithm of the whole structure, you know.
I like what you said earlier about how it was it's about not taking it. You're not taking it personally, like you're not taking your job personally enough, and it's yeah. It's like this Protestant work ethic.
You should be
apart.
Joyful yeah. as you are exploited.
Well,
yeah,
well, not only joyful, but that like the quality of my work is directly tied to my quality as a human. Like, yeah. like as on earth, so as in heaven, kind of shit. Where it's just right. like if I'm not like answering my boss's email at 8:30 p.m., then like I'm not a good person.
Yeah,
that shit's real, and it's like you know, like I ended up feeling that way when I had to like fall on my sword. Like I don't even know when did Trump get elected? Like 8 years ago or whatever, 7 years ago. And when I was suddenly unemployed, I had like so much depression from just not being praised for piloting the Ava. Like my whole idea of like who I was so tied up with what I did for 40 plus hours a week. And then having that not be there, I was like,
But there's something about like, you know, having a job and then like having a job that where like you, I don't know. People need purpose, I guess, mm-hmm. is the point, right? It's like people obviously need purpose, but and jobs offer a lot of that. But mm-hmm. I think there's something categorically different about like the way that a lot of bosses and jobs like want you to have like just so completely replace your identity and your personality and your self-worth with like your job performance program.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And I also think it's just absolutely absurd that being a high performer is quiet quitting.
that's something else,
like, man. They must have literally nobody who's literally slacking. Like they would have just gotten axed. Right. Like,
the other kind of insidious thing
is what they're complaining about.
Yeah. The other kind of insidious thing about being a striver is that it can, in many workplaces, make it less likely for you to get promoted because they need somebody who works as hard as you do in a grunt position.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like if you're really good at doing a thing, like you're unlikely going to be management, which, you know, it's like that's fine, too, I guess. But yeah. Corporate America and or corporate Ireland and or corporate the world is definitely leaves a lot to be desired.
It's a nasty little place.
Yeah. But I just think it's so crazy that you can have somebody who like does everything and well and be like, I think they're quiet quitting.
Like, there's something about this I just don't like.
Why aren't they staying till 6?
Why do they do such a good job from 9 to 5?
Yeah.
And then even though
I let them outside.
Yeah.
We have relaxation class.
Yeah.
On their lunch break.
Yeah, lunch break is relaxation class.
Yeah, right.
Universally. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need a class.
No. You just need
I just need to go home at 5 and relax.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Are you fellas ready for a wildflower?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This is a pretty good one. I like it. So the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have announced that they're going to start actively restoring grizzly bears to the North Cascades of Washington.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Grizzly bears occupied the North Cascades regions for thousands of years as a key part of the ecosystem, distributing native plant seeds and keeping other wildlife populations in balance. Populations declined primarily due to direct killing by humans. The last confirmed sighting of a grizzly bear in the U.S. portion of the North Cascades ecosystem was 1996.
Whoa. Someone in the Department of the Interior was watching The Revenant. And watching, like, Leonardo DiCaprio get, like, thrown around by a grizzly bear. They're like, hell yeah. Bringing that shit back.
Yeah, we need to make these forests great again.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So this is going to happen through translocation of grizzly bears from, like, the Rocky Mountains or interior British Columbia. And so they're looking to move 3 to 7 grizzly bears per year for a period of 5 to 10 years to establish an initial population of 25 bears.
They could do like witness protection for bears, right? Just gonna like abduct them and like move them somewhere else. And where'd Joe go? Yeah.
Don't tell the poachers.
Yeah.
I can't imagine trying to kill a grizzly bear. That's like an affront to God.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
The gods.
Yeah. 25 does seem low, but I don't know. Maybe I assume something that terrifying is also pretty territorial.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think bears have a good number of kids, too. Like, I think they can have like 1 to 2 kids every year.
Oh, really?
From what I understand.
Interesting. Wow.
I'm not 100% sure on that. Somebody fact check me, but I think that they have like a good number of offspring.
Okay. So. Yeah. So this is good seed condition.
Yeah.
To get more grizzlies. And I guess you also don't want too many grizzlies.
Probably not too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then like you're going to eat some Seattle, Patagonia vest wearing person.
Probably.
Well, they shouldn't be out there then. Look, just stay off the grizzly bear's turf. You'll be fine.
Yeah. We need a half earth to just be completely uninhabited by people.
85% of this region is federally owned.
Nice.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't start drilling there or anything.
Right? Yeah.
Solar farm.
Am I remembering right that like grizzly bears are like a cross between like a polar bear and a brown bear or something?
Yeah.
Right? They are their own species, but they exist because like of that zone between like the Arctic Circle and deciduous forests.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about like descriptively. That totally matches. I have no idea if that's the case.
For some reason, I thought that like scientists had found that they're like just kind of they're like the mules of bears.
Well, they're not mules because mules are sterile hybrids.
Okay.
They probably are some type of mid species branch or something like that. Because they certainly look like you mashed up a brown bear and a polar bear.
Yeah.
I know that grizzly bears and polar bears can have offspring, which makes them, I believe, members of the same species.
Okay.
Oh, and are the offspring successfully fertile?
I believe they're viable.
Oh, wow.
Again, I'm kind of talking out of my ass here.
We're just making shit up about bears right now.
We're playing fast and loose with bear science.
Yeah.
So please, sound off in the comments if you happen to know anything about actual bear science.
If we have any bear scientists out there.
If you could just confirm that we're right about what we're saying.
Like, if you send us an email saying we're wrong, we will never discuss it on the show. But if you send us an email saying we're right, we will brag about it on next week's episode.
I'm pretty positive we said at least some shit that is totally wrong about grizzly bears. I will tell you, though, that grizzly bears are fucking metal.
Yeah.
And
they're pretty scary.
Yeah.
And they can play the xylophone.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up now.
I think like if anybody's from Russia and knows about bears, I want to know what the secret is to how you can just cohabitate with bears and like, you know, drive them around in cars and shit.
Yeah,
in Russia they fucking smoke cigarettes and shit.
Yeah,
they really make friends with the bears.
Yeah, they like wrestle them and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
like and survive. Yeah, that's cool. It's a cool relationship.
Yeah,
there's been this thought experiment, maybe that's not the right word. There's a meme going around on like TikTok and stuff of asking men if they would rather leave their daughter with a bear or another man.
What?
Yeah, like if you had to leave your daughter in the forest, would you rather leave her with a bear or a grown man?
like sight unseen, like not knowing
either.
Yeah,
you don't know this dude. You don't know anything about anything about the bear.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say the depends on the bone.
There's a surprising amount of thinking behind this question.
Well, it's like also what kind of bear, right? Like that matters a lot, right? Like
sure, a grizzly bear or a black bear, it's a big difference.
Yeah, and like, you know, is it like a mama bear with like cubs that they're trying to protect, or you know, like a black bear?
Well, you can also say it matters a lot what kind of man it is.
True.
Like, is he a pedophile?
True. Yeah.
Okay, so would you rather leave your daughter in the forest with a bear or a woman?
I definitely say a man or a woman in both cases.
Yeah,
definitely. But you know, that being said, it definitely, like, the idea of just like leaving your child with a stranger like ever has got to just immediately raise like the like boop, like little you know the caution sound in a video game or whatever. It's sure. Just like, yeah, you know, people are suspect. In general.
Dads often have to do that with daughters when going to the bathroom. I always think about that. Like, dads having to send their daughters into women's rooms unaccompanied.
Mm-mm.
Scary.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is parenting hour.
Yeah.
With the non-parents.
From a bunch of non-parents.
I never lived with a bear either. So
yeah, that's true.
Really don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But bears can't play xylophones.
see the video where the bear is like doing martial arts with like the stick?
No.
Oh, okay, I'll pull it up after this.
All right.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode of Iron Weeds. Sure hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, long live the bears.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of topics for our next bonus episode we're gonna cover, record, whatever. And if you want to hear it, you can head on over to patreon.com/ironweeds where you can hear it for $1 or more. Do you want to pay more?
Yeah,
we'll send you,
some
nice stickers if you pay $5. I just re-upped on stickers. So,
hell yeah. You know,
we're doing it. And yeah, in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter.
Ironweedspod.
And on Instagram.
Ironweedspod.
And you can send us an email if you want to at ironweedspod.
@gmail.com.
David, we missed your dulcet tones.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Peace.